The book of Luke, continuing our path alongside with the Apostle Peter, observing how the Lord is teaching Peter the things that he'll need to know is for when after the Lord leaves this earth, after he has been crucified and raised again by the power of his own will, these men will go out into the world and preach the gospel of Christ and him crucified for his chosen people, for you and I, those who were chosen before the world was, those whose names were written in the book of life before a star ever twinkled in the sky. We're joining our Lord and his disciples in that upper room. They were in the midst of this Last Supper with the Lord. He was close to finishing the work that he was sent to do. And soon, very soon, the son of perdition would betray his master for a few pieces of silver. Peter had once again stood the ground, declaring that he would stand with the Lord, even if it meant going to prison for him. Folks, Satan is on the search. He is the master of deceit. He is so good at being deceitful that he deceives himself. Sounds like a few men and women that we know about, don't we? Possibly the one standing before you even. I see heads shaking. People understand exactly what I mean by that. We all tend to deceive ourselves at times. Satan is the master of it, and he goes about roaring as a lion, seeking whom he may devour. He desires to have us. He is the accuser of the brethren. He constantly works evil in the world among men and in the churches of Christ, and he constantly seeks the everlasting destruction of our souls. He thinks he'll have it, and that's why he goes about roaring as a lion, yet he is nothing more than a dog. And he's God's dog on a chain. Our Lord uses all things for his purpose, and the devil is exactly that. Something our Lord uses for his purpose. Pastor Don Fortner wrote this. He says, "Did you ever wonder why the Bible sometimes uses the words thee and ye, and at other times it uses the word you?" He wants to show us something, but before I take you there, let's read, if you would with me, Luke chapter 22, verse 33 and 34. "And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee," speaking Peter, speaking of this, "both into prison and to death. And he," our Lord, "said to Peter," he says, "I tell thee, Peter, a cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me." Oh, I'm sorry. I was supposed to back up further than that. Let's go back to verse 31. Lord said, "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prepared for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art strengthened," when thou art converted, "strengthen thy brother." Now, Don says he wants to show us one of the beauties of our King James translation that is completely lost in all of the modern translations. The ye's and the these and the you's. He says in the New Testament there is a distinct difference between the words thee and ye and the word you. Many object to using the word you when referring to or speaking to our God because they superstitiously imagine that thee is more reverent than you. That certainly is not the case. It is no more reverent to say, "Hallowed be thy name," than it is to say, "Hallowed be your name." Both are accurate translations of our Savior's words. We do not have to use thee and thou and thy and thine in our prayers to be heard by God. Yet, as I said, says Pastor Fortner, there is a distinct difference between the words thee and ye and the word you. Whenever you read the words thee and ye in your Bible, try to remember that those words are always singular pronouns referring to one person. But when you read the word you, that is a plural pronoun referring to more than one person. With that in mind, this sheds much light on our Savior's words to Peter, where he says, "Simon, Simon, Satan hath desired to have you." As a plural, remember, our Lord is sitting at the table with all of his disciples. They're all hearing the conversation between Peter. Peter and the Lord Jesus didn't get up and walk over in the corner and speak privately by themselves. They're sitting at the table. They're enjoying a meal with the Lord, the Last Supper. He says, "Satan hath desired to have you." You, all of you, he is speaking of, "that he may sift you." He seeks and desires to have all of mankind as wheat. But notice what the Lord says next. He says, "But I have prayed for thee." You see the difference between the thee and the you and the word you there? Satan wants to have everybody. But our Lord and Savior has prayed for his chosen people. He says, "I pray not for the world. I pray for those that thou hast given me." He says, "But I have prayed for thee," singular, specifically for you, Peter, "that thy," there's that singular again, "that thy," our Lord is praying for you and I, just as he prayed for Peter. He doesn't change. Great is his faithfulness, is it not? "I have prayed," he says to Peter, "that thy faith fail not." Folks, you know, there are so many times when you and I go through this world, and I'm laughing because I'm thinking of myself. There are so many times when I go through and think, where was my faith just now? Where was my faith a moment ago? Why was I worried about this? Why am I concerned about these folks going crazies in the street? Why am I so bothered by that? What? That's my faith being weak and small. But this faith I have is in my Lord Jesus. This faith that I have in my Lord Jesus Christ, it's God-given faith. And like all of God's gifts, it's perfect. It will not fail. If my Lord is praying for me, can anything deter what he prays for? Notice though, it says the words "thy" and "thou," like "thee" and "ye," are singular pronouns. The Lord is saying, "Peter, I have prayed for you specifically that your faith fail not." He is saying, "Peter, Satan has set his heart on you all to destroy you all by sifting you all as wheat. But I have prayed for you personally that your faith fail not." Folks, our only security, by the way, end of quote. Folks, our only security of our souls from this adversary is our Lord Jesus Christ. Our security is his power. Our security is his grace. Our security is his sacrifice, his mediation, his intercession. He says this in Luke 22:32, he says, "I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not." In Revelation 17:14, John writes basically the same thing. He says, "They that are with him in heaven are called and chosen and faithful." Why? Because he has made them so. Notice also that when God's elect fall, we shall be converted. It says, "When thy will be converted." When thou art converted. The Lord Jesus said to Peter, "When," not "if," not "maybe," "when." Was there any possibility that Peter would not be restored? In Malachi 3:6 we read this, "For I am the Lord, I change not, therefore ye sons of Jacob are not consumed." That's you and I. That's who he's talking to. He's talking to all of God's children. We are not consumed. There was no doubt in the Lord's mind when he said that when thou art converted, because our Lord sees everything and he knows everything and he makes everything happen according to his purpose. When you are converted. In Proverbs 24:16, we read this, a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again, because the Lord raises him up by his grace. Not because we pick up ourselves by the bootstraps and get up and say, ah, fell off the horse. No, because the Lord picks us up. It's by his grace we are lifted up again. And in Psalms 37:24, we read this, for the Lord upholdeth him, speaking of his people, with his hand. That's good news to me. Are these not wonderful words? Our Savior saved us and is saving us and will save us. He prays for his elect. As I said a moment ago in the book of John, verse 17, verse 9, we read this, I pray for them. I pray not for the world, but for them which thou hast given me, for they are thine. Then we see a declaration that should humble the heart of every sinner. Read with me, if you would, verse 34. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Peter will recall these very words when they come to pass. And as in all of the things our Lord says, it shall come to pass. And when it does, Peter will weep with sorrow in his heart for the love of God has for him. I ask you this morning, do you weep when you stumble? When we do, and we will, in our weaknesses, his strength is manifested. Look now, if you will, at verse 34 through 36. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. And our Lord goes on, and he said unto them, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lack ye anything? Then said he unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And likewise his scrip, and he hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. Learn this too, folks. We ought to devote all we have to our Lord and Savior. What do we have that we have not received? What do we have that we have not received? We need to devote all that we have. I'm not talking about giving everything to this or giving everything to that. I'm talking about using what God has given us. That Harley Davidson that you said is so pretty over there, Mike. You know something? I'm ashamed to say that I don't use that for the glory of my Lord. I brag about how Kathy and I quit smoking. Where's the glory that I should be given to God for giving us the desire to quit in the first place? And because of the results of our quitting, we were able to go out and buy these wonderful things that we enjoy of the world. Where's the glory of God in that? In that saying that the Lord is the one who brought us through that terrible time of smoking and brought us out of that. That's where I'm talking about, using what God has given us to glorify our Savior. Devote what we have to our Lord. Declare it is He who is behind all things. By every reasonable means at our disposal, we should give everything and devote it to our Master to faithfully serve Him. He said in verse 35, when I sent you without purse and scrip and shoes, lacked ye anything? I can tell you right now by the one standing before you, a man who a little over a year ago, let's just go back further than that, a man 10 years ago who would sit down in the chair after talking before people and shake so bad that it scared my wife to death. She thought I was going to have a heart attack a few times. There were times where I had to get up and walk out afterwards because I was sick from being so nervous talking in front of people. But yet the Lord has provided all that I need to do what? To stand here this very day and preach about Him to you and to those that He brings through this door. I have experienced my Lord providing in a great, great way. Not just the things of the world, but the things I need to serve Him. Again, I quote from Don Fortner. He says, our Lord's words here are not literal. Speaking of verse 36. Excuse me. Let me back up just a little bit here. Experience God's grace ought to take great pleasure in helping one another, especially counting it our privilege and honor to help those who are fallen. When we're converted, meaning turned, because that's what that means. When we're once again turned, when we've gone through that lesson, Jonah went through the lesson of being swallowed by the whale. When he was converted from that, when he was given life to walk this earth again and to speak, what did he do? He turned to those who had fallen and preached Christ. Salvation is of the Lord. When we are converted, strengthened through our weakness, looking to the Lord Jesus Christ, we are to turn and strengthen our brothers. What an honor. What an honor it would be to be able to help a brother who has turned from Christ and stepped into a puddle, a trial. Not fallen, because our Lord will never let us fall. Once He's taken us out of that pit, we'll never go back to it. The pit of death, the pit of hell. What an honor, what a pleasure it is and a privilege to reach down and help those who have fallen as we have. Now, if you would turn back just a page or two, or over to the Galatians chapter 6 for a moment, will you? Look with me, if you would, at Galatians chapter 6, verses 1 through 3. Brethren, if a man be overtaken in fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness. And here's why. And here's how. We can help our brothers who have fallen in grace. We can strengthen them by pointing them to Christ, because we have done the same thing. We have stepped in it. We have fallen in grace ourselves. Restore such a one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear ye one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Brother Don Fortner wrote this. He says, our Lord's words here are not literal but proverbial, saying, until our Savior comes again, we are to make diligent use of everything God has given us. This is speaking once again of how our Lord sent us out with purse and scrips and shoes. Did we lack anything? And they said, nothing. Then said He unto them, but now he that hath a purse, let him take it, and likewise his scrip. And he that hath no sword, let him sell his garment and buy one. These things are not literal, but proverbial. Until our Savior comes again, we are to make a diligent use of everything God has given us. But that does not mean that we are to expect miracles to be performed to save us from the trouble and labor. We do not expect bread to fall from heaven into our mouths. If we refuse to work for it, we are not expecting the difficulties of the enemies to be overcome if we will not wrestle and struggle to take pains. That's what J.C. Ryle wrote. He says, "We shall do well to lay to heart our Lord's words in this place and to act with habit on the principle in which they contain." End of quote. So folks, I give you this morning in closing, let us labor and toil and give and speak and act and write for Christ as if all depended on our exertions. And yet let us never forget that success depends entirely on God's blessings. To expect success by our own purse and sword is pride and self-righteousness. But to expect success without the purse and sword is presumption and fanaticism. Let us do as Jacob did when he met his brother Esau. He used all innocent means to conciliate and appease him, but when all that was done, he spent all night long in prayer with the Lord wrestling. You can read about it in Genesis 32, 1 through 24. My prayer this morning is that God would give us wisdom in using the blessings that He has given us. The blessings of material things, the blessings of knowledge, the blessings of our very souls that He has bestowed upon us. Lord, bless us to use those things for Your glory. In Your name, amen. Stand with me if you would, please.